What can we learn from Old Testament prophet Samuel on how to endure through tumultuous times? Find out in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Unfailing, God's Assurance for Times of Change. This book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Unfailing at issuesetc.org. Unfailing, God's Assurance for Times of Change, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed.
What is it about the money changers in the temple, the selling of doves and sheep and oxen? What is it that so angers Jesus that there in John chapter 2, he makes a whip of cords and he drives them all out? He says, "Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." And the Jews, in response, ask for a sign. Why did they ask for a sign? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jesus clearing the temple in John chapter 2, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, Tom met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking about Jesus cleansing the temple. How do you respond to the assertion that we should avoid telling children this story? They need to hear about the meek and mild Jesus, not the violent or angry Jesus.
Yes, this is a common thinking among many people that when you describe Jesus from the Bible, they often think of him as calm and deliberate and patient, etc. But there were times when he became angry, not only with false teachers, but even with his own disciples. And a good example of that was when Peter cautioned him that he should not be going to Jerusalem to die on the cross. And Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because Peter was standing for Satan in getting the way of the mission that Jesus had been sent to do by the Father, namely to become the Redeemer of the whole world. In this particular instance, Jesus is angry in the same way that parents are angry when children are not obeying them. Now, the parents don't mean that they're going to be hating the children, but they're still angry if the children disobeys a command from the parents that the parent expects them to obey. And so just as children recognize that parents can become angry, and rightfully so, toward the children, so this is a good example where Jesus was angry towards those who were misusing the worship of the temple.
Why is it important that John notes the Passover of the Jews was at hand?
We recall that Jesus would go with his mother and father, Joseph and Mary, to the temple every year during the Passover. In fact, we'll recall one of those times when he had gone there, the parents were on their way home and they couldn't find him. So they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. It took them 3 days and they finally found him in the temple having discussion with the scribes and the Pharisees, who were quite surprised at the depth of knowledge and questions that Jesus had. And Jesus says, "Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" And of course, the business of the Father was proper worship, adoration, and therefore this occurred in the temple with the many items that were built into the temple to remind people of the proper worship of God. And the Passover was a time when Jews from around the world would come and do a pilgrimage to the temple. The Passover reminded them of when Moses had them put blood over the doorways of the people in order that the angel of death would pass over those families and they would soon escape from the Egyptians by means of the Red Sea. And so this was a custom that Jesus followed every year. This occurs in Mark chapter 2. And so this is occurring when he was early in his ministry. And that's when he went up to Jerusalem during the Passover.
Why did Jesus become angry?
Well, verse 14 of chapter 2 of John says, in the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. Now, you could only buy various animals for sacrifice with the money that the chief priests and the scribes said was okay for buying in the temple. And so that's why there were money changers there. And it was not at all unusual that the money changer would charge Jews from other areas who were attempting to buy various sacrifices. When they exchanged the money, they would charge them for more than what it actually cost. And they were therefore making money on the selling of these animals. And Jesus did not think it appropriate that they would be selling oxen and sheep and pigeons or having the money changers make additional money when they were in the temple of God, for they were supposed to be there for proper worship.
What does Jesus mean, do not make my house a house of merchandise?
What he means is that the house that Solomon built was not there for selling of merchandise. It was there instead for worship. And this is what we do in our liturgy. We give glory to God. We honor him. We worship him. We give him thanks for all that he has done for us. And for us, particularly for the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And therefore, Jesus was not happy at all that they were using the insides of the temple. This would be the temple for the Gentiles, where many people were allowed to come in. But Jesus was still angry that they were making use of the part for the Gentiles to sell merchandise, to make money, to get rich. That was not the purpose of proper worship in the temple of God.
Where do the words zeal for your house has consumed me come from in the Bible?
It comes from Psalm 119. What Jesus is saying there is that we should have zeal for the proper use of worship, not for an improper use of worship. For example, when I was a pastor at my church, there was one Sunday when the kids from Sunday school, getting ready for Sunday school, they began to run around the sanctuary playing tag. Well, I stopped that immediately. I said, that is not the purpose of our worship here, to play a game of tag. And so it's important that the pastor helps the members of the congregation to know how to conduct themselves. And Jesus was so angry with the money changers and the selling of merchandise, he made a whip of cords and drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and others that were supposed to be worshiping properly and not making money for going to church. And these things Jesus did away with, saying, do not make my Father's house a house of trade. And the disciples remembered that it was written in Psalm 119, zeal for your house will consume me. And the people were very angry, many of them, because they were losing money.
And when the Jews see this, they ask for a sign. We'll find out why as we talk with Pastor Tom Baker about Jesus cleansing the temple, teaching a Sunday school lesson next.
The way we as Christians view history is going to be different from how non-Christians view history. As a Christian, you already know what history is about, Jesus coming to save you. So wrote Molly Lackey in her inaugural article for Our Great Heritage, a new series at the Lutheran Witness online website on the history of the Lutheran Church and great historical figures in our history. To learn more, visit witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Luther Academy provides additional theological education for our mission partners around the world, specifically pastors who are asking for additional education but do not have the necessary resources in their own church bodies. By donating to Luther Academy today, you will be supplying food, housing, books, professors, and travel for Lutheran pastors who attend our conferences. To learn more about Luther Academy and how you can donate today, visit lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Are you planning your vacation in the Orlando area? Are you thinking about retiring in Central Florida? Are you looking for a faithful Lutheran church near the theme parks? Then Zion Lutheran Church and School is the place for you. We're in Winter Garden, Florida, about 20 minutes from all the attractions. At Zion Lutheran Church and School, we believe, teach, and confess God's truth for you. Find out more on our website, zionwg.org.
Sanctifying your exercise routine with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Abel, an eater of sheep? This is Ken Ham, CEO of the Apologetics Ministry of Answers in Genesis. In Genesis, we're told that Adam and Eve's son Abel was a keeper of sheep. Now, some skeptics claim this means Abel was eating meat and sinning against God, since mankind wasn't given permission to eat meat until after the flood. So if he was raising and eating sheep in sin, why was his sacrifice acceptable to God? Well, this is an example of claiming a contradiction where no contradiction exists. The Bible doesn't tell us Abel ate meat. Abel could have been raising sheep for wool, milk, or leather, or for sacrifices. Before we claim the Bible's in error, we need to carefully read the passage and consider that we might be in error.
Listen to this program again or view a complete transcript when you visit us at AnswersRadio.com. You'll be encouraged at AnswersRadio.com.
Well, Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus Clearing the Temple in John Chapter 2, with Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show Law and Gospel. We base these Sunday school lessons with Pastor Baker on the Enduring Faith Sunday School curriculum. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Give them a call and request free copies of Enduring Faith, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more about Enduring Faith at cph.org. Tom, after Jesus has cleansed the temple, why did the Jews ask for a sign?
In the book of the epistles by Paul, he says that Jews want to know what is true by asking for some sign. And they asked Jesus for a sign. How do we know you are the Messiah? The sign he gave them was the sign of Jonah being in the large fish for 3 days, so Jesus would be in the earth for 3 days before he would rise from the dead. And the Gentiles wanted to know about his philosophy. That means his wisdom that he had. And that's how they thought they would be convinced that he was important. But Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." That's the sign he gave to them.
What does it mean he was speaking of the temple of his body?
Well, this is very important to understand that even when Zerubbabel and others came back from the Babylonian captivity and began to rebuild the temple, and it took 46 years for Herod to complete the building of the temple, it says that the Holy Spirit had still not returned to the temple as he had been during the days of Solomon. So when Jesus entered into the temple, even as a child, that was God coming back to the temple. And remember, Simeon was filled with the Holy Spirit, as with Anna, to prophesy the wonderful works that Jesus would be doing. So when he says, "Destroy this temple," he wasn't talking about the building. No, he was talking about his own body. His body, the temple of God. And even though the Jews said, "Oh, it's taken Herod 46 years to build this temple, and you think you'll raise it up in 3 days if it's destroyed?" But the scripture says in verse 21, "But he was speaking about the temple of his body." And therefore, verse 22, "When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken." Because every word that Jesus speaks is the word of God, the Holy Scriptures, and was given to human beings in order that we can be assured that our sins are forgiven by the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension into heaven of Jesus Christ.
Why do the disciples understand Jesus' actions and his words only after he's raised from the dead?
Because until he is raised from the dead, they still don't believe it. Remember on Easter Sunday, 3 days after his crucifixion, where he said, "I will rise from the dead." No, they believed he was still in the grave, as did many of the women who came to give him a christening for his burial. But no, when Jesus appeared to them in the upper room on the night of Easter, then they were convinced that he would be raised from the dead. And remember the words of Thomas a week later when he saw Jesus. He said, "My God and my Lord." For the Holy Spirit had given him faith to believe that the words of Jesus, which he spoke while he was here on earth, would all be coming true and be fulfilled as he had promised.
Where do the Sunday school children find the risen body of Jesus today?
Today, the risen body of Jesus, which means he's able to speak to you, is found in worship. As soon as you get into worship, you begin by speaking of the words at his baptism. In the beginning was the Word, and he was baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit ascended upon Jesus, and he therefore, at that point, began his ministry to go to the cross to die for their sins. That was what they realized when they saw Jesus in the upper room, risen from the dead, and believed the promise that he had given to them. Not only that he was the Messiah, but as Thomas said, he was God himself.
What is the law and gospel of this lesson?
The law of this lesson means that we don't at times really worship the way we should. We may, well, during the sermon, be thinking about all the things that we're going to be doing that day, like watching a football game, having a meal, having friends over to the house, and we will neglect the proper things of worship, which the Sunday school lesson, Enduring Faith, tells us to do. We should be sustained in worship and be listening to the Word of God when it's preached in a sermon, when it's spoken from the words of Scripture, in prayer, in baptism, and of course, when we are given the Lord's Supper, we receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ in a worship service. That's proper worship, and that's what the task of every Christian is when they worship the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in worship services.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll discuss the Book of Mormon with Dr. Jordan Cooper, Executive Director of Just and Sinner. What can we learn from Old Testament prophet Samuel on how to endure through tumultuous times? Find out in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Unfailing, God's Assurance for Times of Change. This book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Unfailing at issuesetc.org. Unfailing, God's Assurance for Times of Change, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March.
Does this sound like your church budget process at the end of the year? You get last year's budget and go through with a committee line by line, maybe what we should spend next year. Maybe you have a prayer. But where's the Word of God in this process? When do the people hear what the small catechism says about giving and why we do it? Contact us at LCMS Stewardship so that we can help you fix this process, put the Word of God first, and put your congregation on a good footing. LCMS.org/stewardship.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey, young adults, are you finding it harder and harder to meet and connect with other Lutheran men and women? Join us at University Lutheran Church in Champaign, Illinois on Saturday, April 6th for the Martin plus Katie Conference. We'll talk about being men and women in Christ, meet new friends, get to know each other, and have fun. Register at martinpluskatie.org. That's MartinPlusKatie.org. Registration closes on Palm Sunday.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.